Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, hey, everybody. I want to welcome the Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich, and we just have the burning question, are you an empath? Well, you know, I'm going to go ahead and give that to my lovely co-host, Miss Amy. Are you an empath?
Well, I can't give that away yet. We haven't taken the quiz. We haven't talked about it. But I have something I'm very concerned about. Here we have, so each chapter is it's chapter one of the Sensitive is the New Strong, in case anybody's keeping score here. The mantra, I'm a soul, not a role. And I'm kind of upset about that because
Kaiser roll
really like
or potato roll or what kind of roll are we talking about?
Cinnamon.
Oh, wait a minute.
I would like to be a cinnamon roll.
I know, right? With pecans on it. Oh, delicious. Delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or you could
there
be a raisin or raisin, cinnamon raisin roll. That'd be good too, you know. There we go. Especially with the holidays, all that good stuff coming up with the cinnamon and all that good stuff. So, yeah, but you know, it is an important thing. I know I am a soul, not a role. And that really rolls into literally the, just some of the things that empaths, just intuitively do, because it's a matter of, for me to feel comfortable, I want everybody around me to be comfortable. Because they're just so in tune with everyone else around them energetically that it's interesting that, and if you don't know that, I think it's so kind of shocking that you're like, oh my gosh, I never realized that. And I'm just really kind of curious to see percentage of people that, that's something that there was a big aha for them. I would be love for, you know, just direct everybody over to our Facebook page with the Transformation Community, and that would be something I'd love for people, you know, to have that conversation about.
Yeah.
You know, was that a big aha for you? Go ahead.
Well, Transformation Cafe Community, and one of the things about being an empath, because we don't feel seen or heard or admitted into the conversation, Alana is in the queue and is not being admitted in.
Oh, well, there you go. That's the last minute we got. We like started and she popped on, so there you go. Alana.
Hello.
There she is.
Hello.
There she is. Okay.
We
started a conversation. I looked down to look at my book and she's like, Alana's there, and I'm like, what? Okay. So did you hear the part where we were talking about I'm a soul, not a role?
Yes, I've heard the whole show. Yes, thank you.
Okay,
yep.
Okay. So what kind of role would you want to be?
Well, I want to be a soul, right?
Oh,
no,
well,
but like Amy said she was going to be a cinnamon roll, and I said maybe cinnamon with raisins, so, or maybe a pecan roll.
I'm definitely a sushi roll.
Oh,
sushi. Roll, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
She's going savory.
Right.
She's going savory on us now.
Yeah.
All right. That's good. Well, we got the balanced meal thing going on here. We got some savory and sweet at the same, you know, going together.
That's good.
Stop.
That's good.
You're so funny.
I am. We can't help ourselves. Okay. So how are you feeling about that? About the fact that, you know, being somebody with this chapter, if you have a chance to go back and listen to the first show, if you've been with us on the just kind of an introductory show that we did last week, Alana was really wonderful to let us, you know, kind of get an insight look a little bit about, you know, her life and her daughter being such an empath. So was there anything in the chapter one for you that was just like a little bit of a surprise?
Well, so far I feel like this is still feels introductory at the moment, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so but one thing that like what Amy was saying, how, you know, when you can't be okay whenever everybody else is not okay in the room.
Right.
And
right.
I do see that a little bit in my little one. And like, what's interesting is that last night we watched this show on Netflix. It's called, what is it called? It's called, Found is what it's called, Found. Mm-hmm. And it's about these three Chinese American children. They were born in China and they were adopted to American families, and you know, 20 years ago, and they end up being cousins. They found each other through the DNA system, like the 23andMe, you know, and they found each other, and they go to China, and they, you know, they try to find their parents, but they really just, they don't find their parents, but they, you know, spoiler alert, but they don't find their parents, but they, you know, do find each other, right? And but what was interesting is that, you know, but before it was happened, before we started it, you know, Avery and I were watching it together, and I was like, I could tell this was really going to affect her. And so I just said to her, okay, remember, you know, being an empath, you're going to feel all the feelings, right? But, like, those are their feelings, and we don't have to accept that into us, you know? And it was just kind of funny to see. And then what was funny is that she was like, we talked about it a little bit, you know? And then later when I was, like, crying, I had some tears. You know, there was a part of it that was just so sad. There was a family that wanted wanted so desperately for one of those girls to be their child, you know, that they had given up, and it didn't turn out to be, and I was just so sad for this family, and I teared up, and she said, Mom, you were worried, you know, you were so worried about me, and look at you, you know, you're being and so I was like, yeah, that's okay. I said, I'm feeling it, but it's not like, you know, I'm not letting that into my soul, you know what I mean, like, it's different, you know, and so it was just kind of like, it was another opportunity to get to talk about, you know, how do we, you know, how do we make sure we're shielding ourselves from things that are going on in the world where they're not, you know, where we're not being so affected that we can't function, right?
Yeah.
That's so great, though. That's so great to have those kind of insights where, you know, she's being reminded of that now. That, you know, she can have that as kind of that check-in of like, is this me or what, you know, something that's going on around me. That's such a great awareness.
Right.
Yeah, and then she can put it back on you. It's like, okay, Mom, you know, Miss Sensitive here, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. It was too funny. It was great. I was like, all right, you got me, you know. And so, but it was just like, you know, there's such a, like, I really appreciated the defining between empath and highly sensitive person in this chapter.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I think that's like, remember I was like, when I told you, I was like, I don't feel like I'm an empath, you know?
Right.
But I definitely feel like I'm a highly sensitive person, you know? I'm intuitive. I can help others. And so I was like, oh, okay. There's still, I'll be like, there's a middle ground here, you know. I don't have to be, you know, all or nothing.
Yeah, because
you know, I'm an all or nothing thinker. So, yeah.
Yeah. Anita Grip does a really great job talking about the spectrum of sensitivity, and that you know there may be people who are sensitive, but even from the sensitive, moving into the empathic is that much more of a smaller percentage, which is really interesting.
Right.
Yeah, which I thought was really cool. It just makes me wonder though, because you know. A lot of her things where she basically got the invitation through a near-death experience. I wonder how many people who have near-death experiences are actually sensitive or even empath. I think it would be interesting to see the percentage of that.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Were you before?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, people that come back, right. And then how many of them were actually, you know, kind of activated to be in a new way, you know? Because like it was what Anita said, she said, you know, I needed to die to that old self. It wasn't serving me.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
Yeah. So I think that's really, would be an interesting percentage of that. I wonder if anybody's doing any kind of research or something like that.
As the, you know, our podcast goes out and hopefully people go to Transformation, you know, Cafe community on Facebook and let us know, did they have that experience? Do they know anybody that's had that experience? And after having that, were they different in terms of sensitivity? My own personal gut is that the highly sensitive people and empath numbers are really low, and that there's probably a lot more people out there than we know. And as this information gets up, I think they're going to be stepping forward. And I do believe that as people do the work and become more conscious, that their empath or sensitivity does rise. That, at least that's the experience with working lots of people for me.
Yeah, I think so. You know, and I have two older friends who had near deaths and came back, and they both were very empathic.
Mm-hmm.
So just out of my, you know, I'm two for two out of what I know for that tons of stuff.
Well,
so,
and I want to come back a little bit after,
sure.
You know, what Alana had shared, you know, about the sensitivity and you know, not absorbing the energy. And here on page 12 at the beginning here, it says, it's not your job to absorb anyone else's energy. It's not your job to rescue people at your expense or convince them of what is possible if they don't believe you. Your only job is to empower yourself to stay connected to your center and allow your presence to inspire others so they know what is possible in order to heal if it's their fate to do so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very powerful. Yeah. And I love that on that same page, because these are basically awarenesses that Anita got when she had died and then came back because her father had let her know that, you know, you need to go back because there's things that you can be doing to help the world and help people that are empathic. And that was, like, for her purpose. So the second one is that, you know, you need to learn how to protect yourself. You know, you have a greater purpose to complete here, greater than you can certainly be aware of. Your second chance was you know, to be able to embrace your gifts and the gifts of understanding and the opportunity to not waste those gifts. So, you know, I it makes me think about how I've always been the fan of, like, the sidekick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and whether it was a Disney movie or a superhero or whatever, I've always like, yeah, I love that sidekick. So it makes me, I think that's really what empaths can relate to, because it's a matter of, like, I don't need to lead the way. I want to be somebody there supporting the way. But actually, you can do both. You can be that superhero and be supporting at the same time. And you don't have to give up your power to be able to be that one who's helping to make the change. So it's a different way of looking at it, for sure.
Right. And for me, as we're talking about this, I've just had an aha moment for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Being the firstborn of five girls, I really moved quickly into being the caregiver of those girls. And so there's that fine line for me between codependence and that may look like empathy or empathy that looks like that. So I don't know. I think as we go through this, I'll be dancing with that. But I think those two may be related somehow.
Yeah, yeah. I think so, too.
I love
that,
Amy, because that's exactly what I was wondering whenever I was like, how does somebody determine if they're an empath or if they're just codependent?
Yeah. Okay, good.
Well,
I'm not the only one thinking about this.
No, but I also think codependency is empathic.
I agree.
And I think it's important. And I would think that's another thing that'd be, you know, I'm a 12-step recovering empath.
Ooh.
It's really powerful. If you can come from that sense of things and really step back and say, is this mine or someone else's?
Mm-hmm.
And be in a group with other people and not feel like you've got to be a rescuer. Because think about it, I mean, empath, you know, what does a codependent do? It helps that other person to be comfortable with their addiction.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what empaths do. They want to be making things comfortable for people so they can be comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So it's really an interesting dynamic to look at that from that kind of a sense of addiction and where we are in the world with
so
all
I
that.
So I was wondering,
very, very interesting.
In the way that she was putting it, it kind of reminded me of ADHD, the way that brains work, you know, the way serotonin is in there, you know. And I was thinking, you know, well, so is being an empath kind of like a neurological divergence, you know? You know, I'm just interested in it. You know, I'm just interested in what, you know, she's talking about your sixth sense, right? So I'm still trying to, like, figure that out, you know? Like, Yeah. I'm very interested to see the rest of this book. That's what I'm saying. You know, there's a,
yeah.
I think I have a lot to learn. And I think it's good. What I really like about whenever I'm reading a book and it doesn't give me all the answers and I'm going to have the opportunity to do more research, you know, in other books and compare and really think about it, you know, something that might, I haven't had something that really sparked me like that in a while. So this is really interesting to me.
Well, and it's totally relating to your daughter and all that. So I'm excited to see the fact that, you know, you're living it firsthand and how that can assist her and how you're seeing yourself. I mean, you know, you two chose each other for this growth in this lifetime. So what does that look like? You know what I mean? I think that's really interesting of how that will play out. So with the sensitivity on page 17, it talks with the nervous system, it's actually biologically different. So somebody who's empathic is biologically different. So, you know, with somebody who's highly sensitive, a small percentage is also the empath. They share the same sensitivities, but it's more intense. And I loved the description that they gave. It's like, imagine you go out to reach for something, and normally, you know, you've got your five fingers and you're experiencing it with those five fingers. For somebody who's an empath, it could be 50 fingers worth of sensitivity.
Right.
So to even think, I can't even imagine what that would be like, depending on how sensitive you are. You know, and then you think of, you know, kids with Asperger's and autism and stuff. They have those sand therapies that they do where they can feel the sand and move it in their fingers and all that. And it's a safe environment where they're manipulating the sand and stuff like that. It can give them comfort. It's a kind of like the kneading of the sand that really kind of helps them with their feelings, which I think is really interesting when it comes to just have, you know, being able to learn not to have overload and what that can look like. So it's really interesting to see all the dynamics
One of the things I want to support all of us in doing, I know there are certain environments where I completely shut down, and it's really interesting. My husband really freaks out when I do that because he's not used to me being in that, I mean, completely shut down state. And for me, I know me, so I know that what's happening, and I've had to been training him that in certain situations, he needs to make sure that I'm okay, and these are the things I need his help to be okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's like one thing I've noticed with a couple of girls that help me out is they have to sit in the front seat of the car. They can't be in the back seat. So some part of it's, you know, motion and the information coming through the car that can make them feel overloaded.
And then, again, we're each unique. We each have the different ways that make sense to us. I think it's about certainly learning about yourself and that people that you're supporting, you want to help them understand themselves and you to understand them enough to help them without going over that codependent line. Yikes! Which is tough sometimes.
But, you know, what's interesting about this book is that she said she's not going to give us the put up all your boundaries solution.
Oh, no, so, I agree with that. I love that.
Well, yeah, you can't really live that way anyway. That's not serving anybody to think that's just how I'm going to function. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Right.
And I used to be that way. And for me, that's why answering this quiz or whatever, I don't think I call it a quiz, I guess they do. I answer it much differently today than I would have many years ago. Mm-hmm. And I really went from a place of really super protecting myself and really shutting down my heart and my transparency with others to learning how to be present with others and be present with myself at the same time. So it was interesting answering, you know, these questions, knowing that they would have been different answers at a different point in my life.
Mm-hmm. I feel like sometimes just that sense of awareness. So empaths struggle with taking care of their own needs because it always seems to be others' needs are more urgent and important than their own. And an empath can even experience an energetic field around other people. So it's almost like they have multiple radio stations at the same time, even though it's difficult for them to differentiate between their stations and someone else's stations. So So just like thinking, you know, I have five fingers and I'm feeling, I have 15, I know I've got 50, and I've got all these other feelings going around me. I can't determine what's mine and what somebody else's. Yikes. Yeah. So it's really
scary, right? To not be able to have that discernment.
Well, not even know that that's something that's happening. You just think that that's the way it is because you don't know. You haven't had any information to say, you know, this may not be yours. This may not be yours.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. So I promised everybody with our little teaser promo that we were going to talk about the test. Are you an empath?
Yeah, for me, I want to talk about whatever way you guys want to, but I think the questions that are the most that interesting to me were really those first five that if you're hurting feelings, you have a willingness to accept full responsibility for your own actions, sometimes over accepting. You can be easily manipulated. You have difficulty compliments. And you're highly compassionate towards others and tolerate. I hate when people say that. Tolerate. I don't want to be tolerated. You treat others with kindness, whether they deserve it or not. So I think those first five, I function a lot differently now than I did before. But that's because a lot of personal work and development that I can be much more owning of my own gifts and talents and who I am and not getting caught up about what happens with others or myself, because I know I'm going to work on staying in my authentic power and supporting them and doing it too. So these would have been, you know, would have been really challenging for me. And I guess number five, I can always treat people kindly, but not getting caught in doing it overly kind to the point of dependency.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I noticed online is like some of the questions. It would be like, it's like there's no middle ground for it. It either is or isn't. And I found that to be something where I would, like you said, you know, over the years, I've done the work to where I look at that and go, you know, it's not, in, you know, it's not a definite, where I can recognize things in a different way than I used to. Although, you know, when I was younger, that would be the case where I, you know, it would be just like all in or all out kind of a thing. And I definitely have more of a gray area with a lot of that now that I didn't have before. How about you, Alana?
Say the question again. I didn't know you were in. I obviously thought y'all were talking. What was the question?
So were there any surprises in some of the questions or that you kind of, when you were looking at them, you're like going, well, that's kind of true, but I don't like the it's all in or all out kind of a way that it's being questioned.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely don't like, you know, I am a black and white person, you know, I'm a yes, no, you know, I'm very all or nothing, so this, I'm going to have to really respect the nuances of this, right? And I think for me, it's just, I think I fall solidly in the no, I'm not an empath, but I think that, but what's good, what I'm most excited about is just to find out what is the experience of an empath and how can I help them?
Yeah, I agree with that. So I was a 26 out of 34.
Oh, I did not take the quiz, by the way. I did not take the quiz.
Oh, you didn't take the quiz.
I will take the quiz and then tell you.
We will find out
TBD
for you.
To be announced next week.
So
yeah.
you're saying, yeah, exactly. So you're saying you're not, but, you know, that might be a little higher than you think. How about you, Abe?
Yeah, and for me, the number really isn't helpful, you know, and because I, same kind of thing, there isn't a yes or no for these, most of these for me. It's more of a continuum. And so I would say, yes, I'm very empathic, and I'm very aware of people's needs and energy, and I have learned how to get an own mind, support others without getting caught in it. Not that I don't. There are times that I do. So I'm definitely empathic, but the number really isn't reflective because it would be on a 0 to, well, 1 to 5 or 0 to 5, whatever, on a lot of these, not just a yes or no for me.
So what you're saying is that you failed the empath test, so that you're just saying that you are going to be an empath? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah.
I'm
She's a conditional empath. She's conditional.
I could do. I can do whatever I want.
That's conditional. Yeah, exactly. She's conditional about the whole thing. She's like, well, sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. There we go.
Like, yeah. Alana is black and white, and I'm all gray.
Yeah, I don't like those. I don't like those kind of tests. Just give me yes or no, please. Don't give me a range.
Yeah, that's right. Because I'm not a yes or no person. I you know, I like,
well,
you know, I prefer it. Give me an essay.
Oh, give
right.
me an essay. Okay. All right.
Oh, wow.
And we can,
okay.
we can determine from the results.
Right. She can. You know. Basically. You know. Anyway. Do her argument on it. So there's always a meditation at the end of each of these chapters. And, Amy, I would love for you to walk us through that. And we're going to be quiet during that time. So we could really have it as a soundbite that you can go back to. And we talked before about how it's really wonderful if you feel led to actually take the time to record your own voice and reading the meditation and then spending some time with that where you can hear yourself. So whatever feels right for you with that. But we're going to go ahead and create that and make sure that it's a part of each of the chapter reviews that we do, so that would be great.
All right, so let's take a nice deep breath in and release. And let's be open and willing to letting this become part of our reality. I allow myself to recognize the subtle voice of my intuition. Whether it comes to me through words or visions, I pay attention to it. I pay attention to the sensations in my body, such as feelings of calm, peace, and relief. I honor these subtle thoughts, visions, sensations, and feelings, and I know that my soul's way of communicating with me. I trust and feel safe in the knowledge that as I follow my intuition, I am serving my highest good. Nice deep breath in and out.
You know, for me, that just feels like, you know, just the way that I would seek to walk in the world.
Mm-hmm.
How about you, Alana?
And back
Alana.
To the mantra, you know, for this chapter, I am a soul, not a role, is the be, not do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And there's also the invitation to be just in present moment.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with just whatever awareness is coming up for you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty perfect.
Pretty perfect.
Mhm. Mhm. So next week we're going to be talking about the blessing or the curse, which I think is kind of interesting because we talked about that a little bit about, you know, I think part of that too is depending on how much you're aware of the sensitivities and the things that can come up for you and the way that you've learn to be able to be working with people or having it be something that could be a conflict. I think along with that, too, is going to be sensitive, you know, sensitive to seeing how that all works out with everybody. So any thoughts for us moving into the blessing or curse?
Well, that is one thing out that I'm most curious about, you know, because sometimes I feel like I was saying, comparing it to ADHD, you know, sometimes it's my blessing and sometimes it is my curse. And so, you know, if what I'm thinking is going on, I can see that it could be definitely both for people. And
mm-hmm.
I'm interested to see, you know, how do people utilize it for good, you know, and how do they,
right.
you know, how can you maximize the use of this talent that you have?
Right. Well, one of the things it says in this chapter is sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never harm me. It says both can ring true.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure. How about you, Amy?
Again, it's going to be fun to go through the exercise. And I think like with any superhero, right? You know, there are pluses and minuses to being it, right? are so looking at how can I honor the part that feels like a curse and also honor the part that feels like a blessing.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Amen to that.
Amen.
Exactly. Exactly. So really encourage, you know, if you've really liked the meditation, I'd really love for you to go back and be able to make that little sound bite for yourself. Or just go ahead and create your own. I think that would be a really wonderful thing, you know, knowing that I can embrace my intuition and know that you're serving the highest good. That's always a good thing. It's always a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as always, thank you, ladies. Wonderful conversation.
Thank you.
And again,
an honor to work with you and talk with you.
Yeah. Sensitivity is the New Strong by Anita Morjani. And she has all kinds of YouTubes out there where she's really continuing to do the work. And she also has a community out there. And again, any kind of thoughts or things you'd like to share, we really encourage you to go over to the Transformation Community on Facebook, and we'd love to be hearing from you. So thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time here at the cafe.
Woo-hoo!
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.